Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to the book of Hebrews. We're going to read from chapter 2 in just a moment. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to preach a word. We do have prophetic teams at the end of the service, and that will be ready to pray for you personally, believe God for a word to release to you, and that'll be at the end of the service time tonight. Let's pray, and we're going to ask God to speak to us. Father, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. Lord, I know this word is a right now word for many people, so come and speak. Give me liberty in preaching what you've put in me to preach tonight, and help me communicate it in such a way that people can hear. In Jesus' name, amen. We were at Lucille Street, which is the facility we were in before we moved here. And we had all of our staff offices in one building. So we had to share space. We're really good at that. And Pastor Vicky and I, we were working together intently on some project. I'm pretty sure it was Prophetic Power Conference, we call it now. And we were all in, and I'm sitting by her, we're at her desk, and we're looking intently and working out logistics and who's going to do the airport run here. And Pastor Tammy, my dear friend Pastor Tammy, I think she ran out for the story. Pastor Tammy walks by, and we both kind of catch her in our peripheral, but we don't have time to mess with Pastor Tammy at this particular moment. No disrespect to Pastor Tammy. And it was obvious she was waiting for our attention. She was standing there a moment, but we've got to finish this. So we're focused on this. And then Pastor Tammy spoke. There she is back there. You're welcome. Then Pastor Tammy spoke. And this is what came out of her mouth. Is your wife's butt getting bigger? You cannot imagine the shock. I thought, what a way to get our attention. Is your wife's butt getting bigger? Pastor Tammy. She's ready to defend herself. She wants me to move on in the story, but I'm going to let that hang there for just a minute. Did Pastor Kirsten really just say that? Okay, Pastor Tammy, I'm going to set them free. Here they go. Half the room's about to get up and leave. So Pastor Vicky and I were shocked, as you would be, if somebody demeaned your spouse in such a way. And so we both stopped and we looked at Pastor Tammy and said, "What did you say?" And then I realized I didn't hear her right. Thank God. What she said was, "Is your white spot getting bigger?" But because I wasn't paying attention, her words were just muddy water in the background. And I thought she was demeaning my wife. White spot. I don't know if you can see that. It's the same size as it's always been. There it is. Praise the Lord. Take a look at Hebrews, because that leads us right into a powerful word. Now that you've got the real story, chapter 2, and now you'll know why I'm opening with this. Chapter 2 says, "We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testifies to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. What would it have been like if I didn't ask Pastor Tammy what she just said and got mad and offended and left and went home and told my wife what Pastor Tammy said? Can you imagine what our relationship with Pastor Tammy would be like to this day? Can you imagine what it would be like to live with that distortion? That's not what she said, but it's what I heard. Imagine what life would be like now if I lived with this skewed point of view. Have you ever got a text message that somebody was using a voice text? They're talking to their phone and it didn't type what they said, and you're looking at it going, what? Yeah, I've had staff members swear at me before. And then you show them and they're like, oh no. Siri swears. She'll help you swear too if you want her to. Or maybe you sent an appropriate text message to the wrong person. You ever done that? I love you so much. Oh, oops. Wrong person. Imagine them on the other end. They have to interpret this and try to wonder, did they really mean this? Anybody have to do that? I know you do. I do too. I've gone back and looked just yesterday. Guess what? It was Pastor Tammy again. Just yesterday, Pastor Tammy sent me a text message that said, we're going to start the real life seminars. That way we can tell everybody at the lunch tomorrow. I thought there was some kind of lunch happening today. Wow, there's going to be a lunch at church tomorrow. She wasn't saying lunch. She was saying launch. One letter made me think there was going to be serving Reuben sandwiches out in the lobby. Hey, how? One letter was left out. It was probably one of those autocorrect. Have you ever been trying to text somebody and it keeps correcting? What did you just type? What I want you to type? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah, oh yes, yes. Those of you online, you know what I'm talking about as well. Is it possible even today, you and I have some distorted points of view that we're living by, making choices on? What if we're making choices for our kids, but it's from a skewed point of view? And then our kids are living thinking that was right. But we made it from distortion, not seeing correctly, not understanding. Could we possibly be living with a distorted view of God and then making decisions based on that? Or what about our faith? What about the Word of God? Is it possible that we could be? Yes, it is possible. Is it possible that we have a skewed point of view or a skewed doctrine that we're living by? What does doctrine mean? It's a set of beliefs or a statement of beliefs held by organizations like a church. We have a set of foundational truths. Those of you that have been to the members class, you'll know one of the highlights that we touch on is what we believe as a church. If you have never seen that, or maybe you lost yours, you can find it online. You go to our website and you click about and you should be able to find it right there. Our text here today, I want to bring out three things. You stopped the clock for some reason. Can you start that? Because I don't want to violate Pastor Daniel's request. It's frozen. That might be a great thing. I want to pull out three things from our text. First of all, I want to highlight a warning. And then I want to talk about a responsibility. And then I want to talk about a disaster. See, this text here in the book of Hebrews about paying careful attention to what you hear so you don't drift away and then live with a distorted point of view is not the only time we see this. In fact, the church fathers, if you will, the apostles that started all these churches, they wrote the books of the New Testament. One of the repeated emphasis that you see throughout their writings is watch out for false teachers. Let's look at a few of these. I'm just going to go real quick. First of all, Jesus told his disciples, Luke 21:8, watch out, you're not deceived, for many will come in my name claiming I am he, the time is near. Do not follow them. Have you ever met someone that has told you they're Jesus? I've met two of them. I've met Jesus twice. Guess what? It wasn't him. And then they manifested at me when I told them, you're not Jesus. They got really ugly at me. Jesus warns his disciples, look at Matthew 16:11. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They understood that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of those groups. Paul says to the Romans in chapter 16, listen to this, watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you've learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Paul says to Timothy, many times he says to Timothy, here's one of the times, 2 Timothy 2, verse 17, starting with verse 16, avoid godless chatter because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are these two guys who have departed from the truth. They say the resurrection has already taken place and destroyed the faith of some. That's scary. Paul writes to Titus, watch out for false teachers. Peter writes to the church, look out for false teachers. John, the apostle John, in his short letter, 2 John, listen to this. This is a little bit frightening here. 2 John verse 7, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what we have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. Anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. That's a little frightening. We have to be on our guard about who we're listening to. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Pay careful attention who you're listening to. This is a New Testament concern that Jesus introduced and the apostles repeated in their letters to the church. And this is not just a first century church issue. It's the issue today. We live in a media-driven world. The introduction of smartphones has changed the world as we know it. And anyone and everyone can post their opinions and their revelations and their dreams and their prophetic words that they've got and their personal convictions on a platform, and we watch it and listen to it. How do we know what they're saying is true? Surely you don't just hear what they say and receive it and automatically assume that whatever they're saying is true because they have on a nice tie and they love people and they love Jesus. We must pay careful attention. We live in an age where it's hard to find trustworthy people. It's hard to find a news station and listen to it and wonder, I wonder if they're telling the truth. Right? They don't say what they mean and they don't mean what they say. Three takeaways from our text, because this is the day that we live in. The writers of the New Testament are speaking directly to us. And what I'm bringing to you today are these three things. First of all, there's a warning. He says we must pay more careful attention to what we've heard so we don't drift away. The warning is not everything you hear is accurate. You can hear partial truth. Remember Pastor Tammy in the story. I wasn't really paying attention. Look, she's trying to make up for it now. She's like shouting things down here to my wife. Hey, those of you that are in ministry, I just want you to know, quitters don't have stories to tell. You might want to write that down. If you want stories, you can't quit. Because then the only story you got is the one that made you quit. That was for somebody here today, not me, because I'm not a quitter, and I got stories to tell. We're in shortage of people that can be trusted. What we listen to, here we're talking about the warning we have from this text. What we listen to can help keep us on track or derail us. And the devil is a master of twisting words or only giving you partial truth. And yes, the warning, it is possible to lose all that you've worked for because of something you heard, decided to believe and walk in a certain direction away from truth. And then in the end, find out you lost everything that you worked so hard for. Yes, that's possible. I don't want that for you. That's why I'm preaching this message here. Take a look at Hebrews 10. This is not the only place there's a reference to this. Hebrews 10, verse 26. Talking about losing out. Do you know it's one of the topics of Christendom today is whether or not you can lose your salvation. I don't know how anyone can read these particular sections in the New Testament and think that somehow you're all golden and you can live whatever life you want because you prayed a prayer at 4 years old. I don't know how you could possibly figure that out in the New Testament. Take a look at what the writer says here. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we've received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses, talking about the Old Testament, we're going to get to that in just a second. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who's trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace? How can you read something like that and think everything's going to be okay because you prayed something at 10 years old and then went and lived like the devil? It's okay. I prayed 10 years ago when I was 10. It is possible to lose it all. It's one of the reasons that we have to make sure we inspect what we're hearing to make sure it lines up with what this says. That's the warning in this text today. Hey, not everything that you hear on YouTube or on Facebook or some amazing preacher that's really good at preaching but doesn't use scripture in their preaching, does it line up with this? There's a lot of people that are really good at speaking and they can get you really stirred up But they never open the Word of God when they're preaching. I don't know if you've ever seen some of those. That bothers me. I want to know the Word of God. I don't want to be entertained. I want to know the Word of God. Because I'm going to live by it. I'm going to make decisions by it. And those five are counting on me to make decisions based on God's Word. So a warning, watch out. Next, there's a responsibility in this text. And the responsibility is ours. It's yours. It's a personal responsibility to discern and to inspect. Pastor Daniel, great pastor, Pastor Karen, it's not their job. It's not their role as the pastor to inspect what you're hearing. It's your job. We have a personal responsibility to judge what we hear. Yes, we are called to judge. That's why you lock your house when you leave. You're judging your neighbors. There's a lot of people that take Jesus' words, do not judge lest you be judged, and apply it in areas that fits them. But why do you lock your car when you're in the Walmart parking lot if you're not supposed to judge people? Just leave your windows down and your car unlocked and the keys in it. Do you take your keys out of the car and walk in with them? Yeah, you're judging people. You're making a decision that someone is going to steal your car. So you are called to judge people. You better judge people or you're going to be led astray by every wind and doctrine that comes across your way. Responsibility is yours, not to just accept everything we hear as truth and live by it. And I want to say, whatever you hear coming from this pulpit, even though our pastors have prayed and intently studied, you take it and you look at the Word of God yourself. Did what they say line up with Scripture? We watched Birthday of a King. Oh, I'm going to run out of time. We watched Birthday of a King yesterday. We had a cast watch party something. And I'm listening to myself preach because I did the wrap up at the end. Maybe if you came to Birthday of a King, I'm the guy that had the blue mustache and the hat. I know you don't recognize me now because I don't have the blue on. But I realized I made a critical error. Oh, I didn't say it right. Yeah, that happens. Not everything comes out exactly. Your role is to you get into this. You know this. You weigh what is being said against this. We are responsible to know the Word and judge everything by it. That's why we're emphasizing life groups today. Get in a life group that's studying the Bible, praying scriptures. Get in a life group that's studying what the Bible says. That's why we're emphasizing to people, don't let the Sunday morning message be the only time you hear the Word of God. You're going to make some critical errors. You've got to be, I hope you're in our Bible reading plan. Don't get tired on the Bible reading plan. Eat the Word. Get in the Word. Know the Word. We have to ask some real questions about who we're listening to. We have to ask some real questions about who our kids are listening to. You have to be a parent that's willing to step in the way of the devil, who's trying to slyly get to your kid. Maybe they're over there on their iPad with their headphones on and they've got it tipped up so you can't see. Your child desperately needs someone to step in and say, hey, what are you looking at? Your children, your teenagers, they desperately need someone to not be their friend, but to be their parent and get in their face and say, what are you looking at? Hey, let's take what you're looking at and put it up on the big screen at church and see if that's okay for everyone. We're going to put it right up here. Wouldn't that be exciting? I think some teenagers just filled their pants. Did that sound inappropriate? We must inspect. We have a responsibility. We are called to inspect our thoughts and inspect people and what they're saying. And then the last thing I want to point out from this text is a disaster for the people that don't, or they do a poor job or don't inspect. There's disaster awaiting, judgment, fearful judgment for those that are just swayed by all kinds of teaching. It's the rest of this text that we read here. And it's referring to in the Old Testament, okay, God would send messengers. It might be a prophet, or maybe it was an angel. There's occasions that angels showed up and gave messages from God. And if people ignored them and didn't do what they said, they were severely punished. But we don't live in that day. We live in the day where the Son of God himself came to this earth and said, "This is the way you do it." How much more severely would someone be punished who didn't do what the Son of God said? Disaster awaits those that have gotten drifted away because they heard something, a new teaching, new revelation. Follow me as I drift away from the straight and narrow path. We must understand the severity of getting off track, especially if you're somebody like me, where I'm looking, I'm in the season of launching young adults, and I'm looking at them and looking at what have I put into them. Wow, I didn't get it all right, Pastor Kimmy. Didn't get it all right. God, I need your mercy. Did I give them the word? Did I show them the power of somebody going to prayer and investing my life in prayer? Did they see that? Did they see the trade-offs of reaching for the harvest as opposed to filling our life with all kinds of things to fill our days and times and seasons? One of the trade-offs me and my wife decided. That's a different thing. We can talk about that at Parents Toolbox. How can we respond to this short text? First of all, ask the question, am I in the Word? Am I reading it? Am I meditating it? Am I hearing it? Am I memorizing it? What I hold in my hand, this book that has seen better days and is held together by hot glue, this has the power to keep me clean while living in a pig pen. That's a Dr. Morocco quote, by the way. That book, I hope you brought one with you. There's no other book like it in the whole world. It's not just another book at the library that we decided to talk about. It's God's word. It's the power of God unto salvation. And doing what it says can release God's power in your life and can keep you living clean in a pig pen. We are personally responsible for keeping on track and not drifting off. Again, get in a life group. How else can I respond? Ask the question, am I leading my children to truth? Or do I just let the television play and anything that comes on, and I just let it roll? Are my kids being indoctrinated by Disney? Are they being indoctrinated by Barbie? Those are good questions. Is there something? Are they being indoctrinated by Bluey? Anybody know who Bluey is? Wow, look at those hands. We watch Bluey. We laugh and laugh and laugh. There's one thing I don't like about it. The kids are in charge. That's not God's plan for blessing in your family. You don't let the kids be the boss. Are they being indoctrinated by that? Who is leading your children to understand the wonder of how they're created and the transitions that their body is about to go through? That is a really good question. Who is helping your young men in your house understand the transitions that are taking place in their minds and in their physical bodies and things they can't control? Is anyone talking to them about it that has truth? Or are we allowing agencies and propaganda artists to come through and confuse them at the most critical, confusing point where they don't know what is going on with me? Insert propaganda to give them what they suppose is truth. It's our responsibility to give them truth. Wake up call. Mom and dad, if you have little ones, start asking for help about how to speak to your kids about transitions that are coming up in their life. If you've got a 9 or 10-year-old girl in your house, you need to be helped. You need some help. Don't be afraid to ask moms, how did you help your daughter with her first period? I'm being real about helping our kids navigate so someone else, the devil, swoops along because you were quiet. The devil inserted somebody that would speak to them, and now they're drifting away. Get in Parents Toolbox. A little plug for Parents Toolbox right there. Am I leading my children to truth? In the Old Testament, you see Moses instructing the parents to keep the law always before them. Talk about it when you're walking down the road. Talk about it in your home. They kept the law visible in front of them. They kept it attached to them. What we keep attached to us is very different today. Just whatever it takes to keep them quiet. Oh God, can they just be quiet? Just give them something. Crickets. Pastor Kirsten, you sound like you've been around a lot of families. That's true. 25 years of working with families and kids at King's. What a great privilege I've had. Are we leading our children to truth? We must know the word enough to contradict all of the input that's coming at our kids. I'm focusing on this for just a minute because it's family night and I want to help you. I want to help your kids. It's the Word of God. You've got to have the Word of God central in your family, in your house. And then lastly, first of all, the question, am I in the Word? Secondly, am I leading my children to truth? And then lastly, have you strayed away? Have you been caught in someone's revelation that you elevated above God's Word? Have you been caught in someone's personal dream they had, and now you're all in on following them because they had this dream? Oh, have you heard this preacher on YouTube? He had this dream, and now we're all following him. Oh, have you heard about this great miracle guy, and he had this great revelation? You're elevating someone above God's word. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. We do not elevate man's word and dreams and revelation above what God has already said. And when you do that, you're walking backwards. You're setting yourself up for destruction. Pastor Karen, it's a sad day when people leave King's or leave their home church to go follow someone because they've had an amazing revelation, and now they've sucked people into them, and they leave a church family and a church they were planted in, and they were growing in the Lord, but all of a sudden they've drifted because they believe Brother Wonderful's revelation, and they leave what all was happening in their life. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. seen it over and over again. What happened? They didn't pay careful attention to what they were hearing, and now they're drifting away. We must pay careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. That's the word I'm bringing you tonight. Have you strayed? Are you ignoring God's word and giving priority to man's word? That's a great question. Are you ignoring the Holy Spirit because you've elevated what someone said? Is my time up? Love you, Minister Toby. We're going to beat you guys at Hearts. Was a little challenge there. Have you strayed away? Are you drifting away? Here's how you know you're drifting away a little bit. You start making excuses for sin in your life. You're drifting. You start making excuses about why you need to go to church less or serve less. And you're drifting. I went to church last month. Some good questions about straying away. Offense. Getting offended at someone, like some of you are offended at me right now for speaking, and the story that I told, it can cause you to drift away if you don't deal with that offense. Is there someone you need to forgive? Unforgiveness will disconnect you and cause you. You're listening to the hurt that's inside of you. You're elevating it above what God says to do. You must pay careful attention. My hope is that by presenting this short little scripture, I can't do the conclusion unless you're playing. My hope is that you can hear truth and not drift away. Isn't church fun? I love this. Seriously, I want to present to you what the writer of Hebrews is emphasizing, which is said all throughout the New Testament, but I'm bringing it afresh and anew because we have moms and dads that you haven't lately inspected what's going into your kids or what they're being taught, and they desperately need someone that'll step into their life and say, enough is enough. They're not saying that to my kid anymore.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com, and may God's face shine upon you.